No! I'm awake! Don't do it! I don't want to! I'm awake!
You gotta relax, my son. Okay.
No!
It's gonna be okay. You're gonna be okay.
Still.
No!
Stay very still. We're going to make you better. We're going to fix you.
I spent most of my childhood in and out of hospitals, and I felt like an alien from another planet. Walking in My Sleep by Michael C. Cooney, true stories of disabilities, independence, love, redemption, and rock and roll. Chapter 3, The Boy Who Fell to Earth.
This is Xenox of Zetron. Can anyone read me? My galactic position system has malfunctioned, and I am unable to navigate back to my home planet. If anyone is listening, please respond. Hello? Is there anybody out there? Wait, what was that?
Warning. Thruster system malfunction. We are probably going to crash.
Oh, thanks for the warning. And I just got this hunk of junk back from the reconstruction center. Come on, computer, initiate system override.
Warning, system override failure. Temperature overload, and I'm trying to bake brownies.
That's not good!
I thought you liked brownies.
I do like brownies. Computer, this is not the time for brownies!
Incoming planet at 400 Xenoths. Ship traveling at incalculable speed.
Computer, initiate safety protocol 341. Time to eject.
Initiating protocol 341
in 3, 2, 1. I fell through space at an incredible rate of speed. Soon I was approaching Earth.
Thruster system malfunction. We are probably going to bake brownies. I like brownies.
Where am I? What planet is this? Computer, origin of crash site.
Origin of crash site, sector 616, 78.08% nitrogen. 20.95% oxygen. Inhabitants refer to it as Earth, whatever that means.
Inhabitants?
I think the explosion happened over there, Sheriff.
Garcia, I need you to contact the local army base. There's a crater-sized hole over here. Trees all over the place. It's a real mess.
Got it, Chief.
We need to get out of here. Come on, legs. Why aren't you moving?
Fire detected. Call it what you like. You force me to resort to other methods. I will contact our space station.
You are an unwilling subject, Doctor.
Honey, are you okay? Maybe this alien movie is too grown up for you.
No, Mom. This is great. And I'm an alien too, remember?
Well, finish your spaghetti, Mr. Tough Alien.
No, I... You will listen to my orders and obey.
All right, get some rest. You have an important couple of days ahead of you.
Can I stay here instead? With you and Spotty?
Remember what I told you about showing up?
If you say you're going to be somewhere, you have to show up.
That's right.
Just hold me close. You're free from harm. I'll keep you safe here in my arms. Just before dawn, you hear me say, morning has come to welcome the day.
We read the Chronicles of Narnia together, one of my favorites. She read aloud while I mouthed the words to myself. If I was lucky, she stayed and read for a whole hour. But she had some writing to do. The hum of her electric typewriter and the clicking of the keys against the paper as she wrote made me feel warm and safe in my bed as I closed my eyes.
Morning, Spotty. I bet you know what day it is. Yeah, I'm not excited about it either. But it's important, you know.
His big brown eyes stared down at me intently. He knew that I had to leave. He knew where I had to go. And he planned to keep me in bed. I had gotten him a few months earlier for my birthday. When I came home from the hospital that time, I told my mother I needed a dog.
Every kid should have one, Mom. It's just a fact of life.
Uh-huh. All right, we'll take a visit to the pound tomorrow afternoon.
All right, calm down, fellas. It's just a kid in a wheelchair. Just calm down.
Choose carefully. Your mama told you, you better shop around. Oh yeah, you better shop around.
That's a good joke, Mom.
We looked at a lot of dogs that day.
What about that one? With black fur and white spots.
That one, kid. He's a killer. You don't want that one. Found him in a field by the highway. Someone must have left him. He's kind of nuts. Wouldn't be a normal dog.
I'm not a normal kid.
He was just sitting there with his head down while all the other dogs were barking and jumping around their cages. I knew as soon as I saw him that he was meant for me.
I don't know. He looks a little depressed.
Mom, that's my dog.
Figures you'd pick the crazy one. All right, let's take him home.
I'll call you Spotty.
At first, he slept in a doggy bed on the kitchen floor. Actually, he didn't sleep at all. He spent his nights tearing up our apartment.
Spotty, don't chew the couch, or the rug, or the... Oh boy.
I want a shout out to the world so they know. My sweet baby loves me so. She got me going, yeah, she turns me on. She loves me, yeah, she loves me. And it blows my mind. Yeah, it blows my mind.
Don't worry, Spotty will be okay. He just doesn't trust us yet.
I understood how Spotty felt. I had to give my body to doctors, and they always asked me to trust them. It's hard to trust. When I was diagnosed with cerebral palsy, doctors advised my mother to institutionalize me. She was a teenager when I was born.
He's 10 months old and can't sit up on his own. He's not going to get any better. His muscles are too weak, and he may be mentally retarded. You're 18 years old. You don't want to deal with that, do you?
At the time, kids born with my type of CP were stuck. It didn't matter if they went to school, and they certainly weren't supposed to be out free and loose in the world. My mother refused to believe that at less than 1 year old, the course of my entire life had already been decided. Her plan was this. I was going to be just who I was, and I was going to get an education. She insisted that I have all the opportunities of someone able-bodied. She searched for and found physical therapists who thought they could teach me to walk on crutches. It had seemed like an impossible thing. I had my first surgery when I was less than 14 months old. There was another when I was 2 and another when I was 4. By the time I turned 5, my body ached constantly. I was a veteran of hospitals and operating tables. But the most important lesson my mother taught me was to show up.
If you tell someone you're going to be somewhere or do something, you have to show up. No one will ever trust you if you don't.
I just want to learn how to walk. What does showing up have to do with it?
If the doctors are going to believe you're serious, that's what you have to do. It's simple, but a lot of people have a hard time doing just that.
And she was right. Many times in the hospital, someone's brother or sister or even their cousin would promise to come see them. And when the day came, they just wouldn't be there. But that never happened with my mom. She was always there. Sometimes she brought food or toys for the other kids. She was the best mom in the whole hospital. But whenever I said that to her, she always answered,
"The key to the whole thing is showing up." Morning! Here are your peanut butter crackers. 5 minutes, and then I'll come back to get you dressed. We've got to get going. That must be the hospital checking up on us. Hello? Yes, this is she.
As I listened, part of me wanted her to say,
"What's wrong with you people? How dare you take my little boy away from his mother? We're not coming. We're going to the movies instead."
But she never did.
"Yes, we'll be leaving in a bit. You can count on us being there on time."
"Just need to add a few more things to your Bert and Ernie suitcase and we'll be ready to go."
"Spotty has to come with us."
"They don't let dogs into the hospital."
"They'll make an exception. They have to." "Mama said what you wanna be when you grow up. Doesn't matter that much as long as you're tough.
The ride from our house to the hospital took over an hour, but it wasn't long enough for me. Spotty curled himself up into a ball on the back seat. As my mother drove, she allowed me to rest my head in her lap and fall asleep. "Say you wanna be a spaceman playing in a rock band. What you waiting on a wristband? Oh, there's nothing to it. You gotta just do it."
"Wake up, honey. We're here."
"Okay.
All right, into the chair."
"Come on, Spotty. You can sit on my lap."
"Please, God, don't let him bite the doctor."
For a moment, I enjoyed the thought of my dog chopping off all the fingers of all the doctors in the hospital. Then they wouldn't be able to do the surgery, and I could go home. As we entered the building, the smell of antiseptic cleaning products, medication, and sick people filled the air. Doctors, nurses, and strangers hurried across the slick, shiny white floor. Everyone stopped for a moment as we passed. Some people smiled, others stared and whispered. I think this was the first time anyone there had seen a puppy sitting on a boy in a wheelchair.
"So, just to confirm, you'd like Samuel to report to pediatrics on Monday, correct? Okay, writing that down. Thank you. Oh, Michael and his mom are here. Oh, and oh my goodness. Is that a puppy?
Why is she so perky at 9 o'clock in the morning? She must be on drugs.
I like her.
You would. Morning, Tracy.
When we reached Tracy's desk, Spotty rested his paws on it and tried to stick his face into the bowl of candy. I pulled him back toward me and held him tight.
You know, the doctor isn't going to like your puppy, but he's very cute.
Thanks. I'm hoping he won't notice.
Well, I don't know about that. So you're back with us for another surgery, right? Just have a bit of paperwork for you to fill out, Ellen.
Of course. He had so much fun last time. Couldn't wait to come back.
Better than Disneyland.
You guys are so funny.
Well, you know, when he gets out of here for good, we're going to travel around as a mother-son comedy team.
Oh. Oh, here comes Dr. K.
He was the head surgeon in the hospital's pediatric orthopedic ward. I thought they should have renamed his department the Child Reconstruction Section. He was a tall, unemotionally cold man with the personality of a doorknob. To me, he was very much like a dark lord with a group of nurses trailing behind.
What is that?
Oh, that? That is my new little brother. We couldn't leave him in the pod.
That is a dog. We do not allow dogs in this space station.
Dog? What dog? I don't see a dog. It's probably your imagination. Are you feeling okay?
Nurse, please take this creature away and finish admitting the prisoner.
Run for it, Spotty!
After the creature. Don't let him get away.
Sorry, Mom. It had to be done.
Where'd they go?
I think I saw them head into the X-ray room.
Guard the doors. Stay vigilant. That alien's a crafty one.
Got it.
Shh, shh. Quiet. They're right outside.
Every corridor, every examination room, the alien and the creature must be found immediately.
Think we lost him, Spotty. Stop chewing the mop hairs. You don't know where they've been.
Honey? 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 Honey, say goodbye to Spotty now.
I love you. You probably won't say I know back.
Come on, little puppy.
I'll take him.
Every admitting department in every hospital has a designated area where patients are supposed to say goodbye to loved ones. But this is not the real hospital. The real hospital is in the back. In a moment, I would leave my mother and be taken to a little room where a nurse would record my vital signs and take a sample of my blood. Then she was going to take away my pants. When you're a kid in the hospital, it's really difficult to keep track of your pants. Someone was constantly asking me to take mine off. Whenever I was about to be examined by a doctor or have my legs x-rayed, I was required to strip down to my underwear. When I was done undressing, one of the nurses would arrive, gather up my clothes, and carry them off somewhere.
Please remove your clothing and put this surgical gown on.
Okay. Hey, where are you going with my pants?
I often wondered what the nurses did with my pants after they took them. Was there a secret room somewhere in the bowels of the hospital with a sign on the door that read the pants room? Maybe doctors and nurses went in there whenever they needed a fresh pair. I thought of them rummaging through boxes of other people's pants, searching for the correct length and waist size.
Doctor, what do you think of this striped pair on me?
I prefer the blue plaid myself.
All right, Michael, it's time. Ready?
The wheelchair moved down the hall, and I was officially hospitalized. There would be no more listening to music in my mother's living room, watching TV, or eating spaghetti and meatballs. I had to lose my mom, my dog, and my pants. But at least I showed up. If I was going to learn to walk, I had to be willing to have my legs nearly completely rebuilt. Even though I hated surgeries, part of me felt excited. I was going to be just like Steve Austin on TV. I was going to be the $6 million boy.
Honey, you haven't been outside all day, and it isn't going to stay beautiful forever.
I'll be there in a second, Mom.
Anytime my mother took me anywhere in public, I became more convinced that I was from another planet. I was different from everyone around me. I looked different. I moved differently. I couldn't walk like other people. My legs were thin and weak. I wasn't horrible looking or deformed. But in the 70s, it wasn't all that common to see a little kid in a wheelchair, crutches, or leg casts out on the street. I knew that there were other disabled people around, but I hardly ever saw them. The ones that I had seen didn't look like me. I could tell by their expressions when they looked at me that I wasn't what most people expected a handicapped kid to look like. My physical appearance always seemed to attract comments from strangers.
Oh, hello there.
Morning. Be nice.
Your son's getting so big.
I'm so sorry this happened to him. You're doing such a good job. God bless you and your family.
You are so lucky to be alive. Congratulations.
Thanks. But I'm an alien, you know, and when I grow up, I'm going to be a rock star.
That was the first lesson I clearly remember learning in life. The difference between sincerity and pity. As if appearing out of puffs of smoke, two giant male nurses came to take me.
Okay, let's get this operation going.
Who's my sweet, brave boy?
I am.
Watch your arms. I'm going to raise these bed rails.
My body stiffened as I heard the clicking sound of the locks fitting into place. Now, there was no escape.
Where are we going again?
Down the hall, to the right.
I caught a whiff of food being prepared in the cafeteria.
How about we forget this and get something to eat, guys?
I had taken this trip many times before, but I couldn't stop the fear growing inside me. Nurses and other patients smiled and waved at me as I sped past them as if I were in a parade. We entered what hospital kids called the dungeon. A set of large metal double doors marked by a blue sign that read, pre-op area restricted. The big heads were there, just as they had been each time before. Their heads seemed larger than everything else around them. They wore hats and masks. I wasn't able to distinguish one head from the next as they moved without emotion from tiny noisy machines to pale, weak faces at the ends of tubes and wires in beds around the room.
How are you?
Not so good. I'm in the hospital.
Don't worry, you'll be fine. Let's move him onto the table.
Heavenly Father, I pray the Lord protect the souls of my friends and family, and Spotty, watch and guard me if I may return from night, and wake me with the morning light.
Okay, it's time.
No! I'm awake! Don't do it! I don't want to! I'm awake!
Relax, my son.
Okay.
No!
It's gonna be okay. You're gonna be okay.
Still.
No!
Stay very still. Got it. We're going to make you better. We're going to fix you.
And I thought, maybe this time, they really would. Several weeks later, I was finally on my way home, and we decided to stop and celebrate.
Hey kid, what kind of ice cream do you want on your sundae?
And like everything else, this became a negotiation with my mom.
Just one flavor, okay? You'll spoil your dinner.
Chocolate, I guess.
We got that.
With hot fudge?
Yes.
And nuts?
Okay.
We got all that, and I'll throw in some whipped cream for your little dog, too.
Even though I was an alien from another planet, I was at least going to try being an ordinary Earthling. Just then, a girl walked in, about my age, too. And as she ordered, incomprehensibly, she actually seemed to be smiling at me.
Hi, you got chocolate, too?
Maybe. Being human wouldn't be so bad. Walking in My Sleep by Michael C. Cooney. True stories of disabilities, independence, love, redemption, and rock and roll. Featuring the voice talents of Ian DePorto, Lena Pertu, Katie Garcia, Cole Ladisaw, Carly Gilmore, Seth M. Shulman, Zach Goldberg, William Chan, Timothy Atwood, and Michael C. Cooney. Adapted from the book and directed by Seth M. Shulman. Produced by Michael C. Cooney and Puzzled Pictures. Editing and sound design by Seth M. Shulman. To learn more, visit puzzledpictures.com/walkinginmysleep.